Hi Jets fans, it's Dr. Emma here, hosting the review slash preview episode this new year. We're going to be reviewing our loss to Adelaide at home in round 10 on Sunday. We unfortunately lost that 2-1. And then we'll be previewing our round 12 game, which is all a bit confusing, and I'll explain later, against Brisbane Roar, which is also at home. And by the time you hear this, it will be tonight. So that's on Wednesday the 2nd at home. To do that, I am joined by two of our regular Jet streamers. First, let's say hello to Grant.
Hi, how are we going, guys?
Happy A little New bit Year. Hungover, personally. What about you?
Sorry, was that? You're all over it?
A little bit hungover, personally.
Oh, no. Well, that's... I was a good boy last night and didn't do anything exponentially exciting and just had dinner with some friends. So a bit of a sleep in this morning, though, and yeah, just a quiet day at home, beating the heat.
How very lovely and civilized. We are recording on New Year's Day, everyone. So, yeah, I'm not hungover every day, promise. And I'm also joined by Lucas. Welcome, Lucas.
Hey, how you going? Good to be on, and Happy New Year to everybody listening as well.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, mate. Did you have a good one?
I did. I just had a quiet one as well. I've been all over the state the last 10, 20 days, so I just wanted to stay home and relax.
Hard life, all that traveling. But good, yeah, Happy New Year. Okay, well, we're on the theme of New Year's. That is my opening question. Boys, do you have any New Year's resolutions that you want to share with the listeners? Lucas?
Like I said, I usually don't remember them or fulfill them. I'll just go with, because I coach, I'll just say I'll improve my coaching and have a good year doing that. That'll be my resolution.
Oh, how terribly positive and football related.
Yep.
Grant, you got a New Year's resolution?
Well, mine is most probably even worse. It's just to be better, yeah. To be better at what I do, I suppose. To be a better person. I always find that you go through and there are things that you've done throughout the year and go, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have done that. So maybe I should be better at thinking about some of the things I do and how I do it to other people type of thing. So yeah, that's the only one I've got. It's the only one so I could strive to actually achieve it, you know. I could say that, you know, as my doctor said to me, I've got to lose weight, and I did. I did lose weight, but it found me again. And so before I see him in the next couple of months, I've got to lose the bloody thing all over again, though. So, you know, so that losing weight thing's no good. So, but being better, you can always be better.
It sounds like you're out for a deal with a sportswear company. Do better, be better. Sounds like a slogan for activewear.
No. I think my weight thing would sort of counter the sports thing.
Oh, Jetstream activewear. I think I can see that as part of our media empire.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm going to go back to the health one.
About yourself, Em?
Not doing a New Year's resolution about health because I know that that's nonsense and, you know, is setting you up to fail. I don't really do New Year's resolutions because I'm a bit stubborn, but I'm also a bit whimsical, so I'm not very good at, like, sticking to things. So I'm going to take the opportunity just while we're talking about New Year's resolution to say don't do detoxes, dummies. They're not a real thing, whether it's a New Year's resolution or in July, whatever time of year, don't do them. Even if it's a resolution.
And you can back it up with science.
Yeah, I can. But, yeah, most resolutions are set to fail. And I think yours is nicer. Yeah. And Lucas's is nicer, kind of general positive affirmation. But, yeah, I think resolutions are the pits. So I don't even know why I chose that as my opening question. So, yeah.
But, anyway, look, the other thing I'd just like to mention, though, to all the listeners out there is congratulate you on today's the big day, 1st of January. You get tenure at... Or is it pronounced tenure with the university?
I do. I have a grown-up job now, so I probably have to stop swearing so much on our Facebook Live videos. Grown-up job, grown-up forever job. Thanks, mate. So kind.
Yeah. No. Absolute credit to you.
Well, yeah, I am an actual doctor, not like that guy on Triple J who just says it. Anywho, enough about me. Let's move on to talk about this devastating result on, what was it, Sunday night? I cannot keep track of the days at this time of year. It's very difficult. Sunday night. We lost to Adelaide at home, and that's really what we're here to talk about. So first, let's let Fox Sports do the hard work, and let's listen to the highlights.
Newcastle looking good for round 10's continuation in the Hyundai A-League as Newcastle Jets host Adelaide United. What was expected to be scalding has in fact cooled down quite considerably, and fans and players alike will be happy as they look forward to an important game between two teams vying for top six positions and continuing to jostle through this important New Year's phase of competition. Georgievski, great pass, Jair on the tight angle with the follow-up, and he's tripped over the ball. The first shot had so much venom behind it, and the second, well, was a total misfire.
What an effort on goal there, but great goalkeeping.
Halloran. And an ambitious attempt that hits the inside of the post and is followed in by Milosevic. Freakish, fantastic, Adelaide lead, and Newcastle are stunned at home.
Great forward run there by Halloran. Little dink over the top. Goalkeeping being caught in that 50-50 space. Obviously a connection, a little 1-2 off the post. Unfortunate from the goalkeeper there, but it's the defending. They've had great success so far.
Hoffman. Now to the far post. Tipped away. Fantastic save from Izzo to deny Jair. Nearly the ideal start to the second half for the Jets. Kitto, fresh legs off the bench. Mile Uzdic making the run for him. It's Ryan Kitto squaring it to Goodwin. And it's a good save from Italiano to deny him. Had the goal at his mercy, Craig Goodwin. Jair. O'Donovan! Flag stays down. Rise back. And the Jets are level. No. The flag has belatedly gone up. Oh, there is nothing quite like a drama in Newcastle. And Roy O'Donovan had to be involved. Shepherd. Marone back to Kiddo. He's fouled! It's a penalty! And Adelaide will get the chance to win it! The subs combined, and Nigel Bogard can't believe he sent Adelaide to the spot. Goodwin's penalty. Coolly dispatched. Adelaide lead, and Craig Goodwin silences McDonald Jones. The Reds get their lead back when it looked so much like the irresistible attacking will of Newcastle might carry them home. Adelaide prevail. A smash and grab in Newcastle. Craig Goodwin's late penalty gets the job done. And Newcastle will be wondering how they let it slip.
Thanks again for Fox for letting us use those highlights. Probably a few of us did not want to relive some of those highlights. Let's talk in general, boys, about the game before we get into the specific stats and the specifics of the game. Overall, how did you feel about the game? Lucas, do you have a sentence or two to sum up what we saw on Sunday night?
I'd say it's kind of hard to sum up because I thought we played pretty well in patches, but just not good enough to get the result in that. And that showed when with the mistake at the end that cost us the game. I think maybe a draw was a fair result, but because of our poor finishing and not finishing our chances, it ended 2-1.
Played well in patches, poor finishing. I think that sums it up pretty well. Grant, do you have any thoughts to add or feels for the game?
Yeah, look, I suppose one of the things, you know, that we'll talk about them, I suppose, is some of the, you know, absolutely amazing comments on Facebook and the various Jets Facebook pages, you know, talking about bench in various places, you know. One of the things about the game that we love is that when you watch it and you're there, it's all about emotion. If you had a couple, yeah, people have a few drinks, it's all about emotion. And so they go on and on their way home or whatever, they hit the phone and, you know, and put their you know, tweet or put their Facebook posts up demanding blood, etc. But yeah, I wonder how many of those people sit down and actually watch the game twice. And as you guys most probably know, I watch every game twice. all of our games, I've always watched it twice. And in the Friday night, seriously, by the end of it, you couldn't talk to me. I was ready. Look, if I'd seen an Adelaide fan or one of those referees, you know, I'd have been arrested. Seriously, I get so emotive, so angry about the game. And then I watch it and I watch the game and I thought, gee, we played well. We did. You know, there's a poor, as Lucas said, a poor decision by our captain. And really, if you look at it, it wasn't a poor decision. It's just that Kiddo's kicked the ball and he's just launched the ball a little bit forward, which left his legs exposed, which caused the penalty. But overall, I thought we played a better game than them.
And so do you agree with Lucas that a draw would have been a fair result?
Oh, look, I even think absolutely a draw would have been a much fairer result. In fact, if Roy was a yard behind, it would have been 2-1 our way.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, the makings are there, but people just need to cool their heels when they're, you know, they're typing in on emotion.
Well, yeah, I was definitely one yes. of those people who was angry post-match. I didn't write anything nasty on the socials, I was livid.
So was I, but as I say, it's interesting when you watch a game without emotion and you're just watching the game. You can look at the football.
Okay, well, let's go through the stats then. Oh, I actually say my line to sum it up would be classic Jets, you know, take shots, can't convert them, play hard, come away with nothing to show for it. So the stats, let's see what we've got. Possession, we had the lion's share of possession, 58-42. We had 27 shots compared to Adelaide's 13. 8 of ours are on target, 6 of theirs on target. Going with our lion's share of possession, we had a much higher pass number. We had a higher passing accuracy. Yellow card to each team. Fouls are pretty even. Corners, though, we had 10 corners to their 3, and we had 3 offsides. So I think probably the stat that is screaming to be discussed, other than the goals scored, which we will get to, is the number of shots. I know a lot of people are celebrating the fact, yep, we're getting lots of shots, that's great, eventually one of them will go in, but seriously, what's going on? Why are we having such a low rate of shots to actual goals? Who wants to take that first, Grant?
Look, I was having a good think about it because, you know, there's a lot of criticism in certain quarters about Dimi and, you know, and how he's taken too many touches. Well, the reason why he's taken too many touches in some instances is that he's just getting hammered by defenders. You know, they've got him worked out, so we need to do something different there. But in the first half, when we were starting to, in the middle there, we sort of lost our way a little bit. But in the first part of the first half and in the latter part, every time he got the ball, first touch he got, he hit the ball, right? But it was over, it was wide. And I'm wondering if all this is just a confidence thing, you know, because we know at that level, when these guys get to that level, they've got the fitness, they've got the skills. So there's one other aspect to it. And I'll get ready to drink, buds. You know, it's the mentality.
So if it is a confidence thing, how do we get that back?
That's why Ernie gets paid the big money. And you say he'll watch a game without emotion and he'll call it as he sees it. And he made some interesting changes there as we look at and go, wow, you know, that was a couple of big calls he's made with these changes. But I don't know what the answer is. I seen a glimmer of light, though. I said every time that bloody O'Donovan had the ball, he split the defenders and he really had him on the back foot and he had the keepers worried. and for the fact he's put the ball in the back of the net, but he's offside. And the goal he scored, have a look at that replay, guys. That goal he scored with his head. He was going backwards when he nodded that in. He was at about a 50 degree angle to the ground, and going backwards, and he's nodded that in. So the only thing I can say is, you know, if we keep going, our ratio is going to get better. That's all I can say. That's all I can hope for anyway.
I certainly hope so, because it cannot get any worse, right?
No. Well, I can, but let's not go there.
Lucas, do you have any thoughts on our major problem of being able to make shots but not actually putting it away? Like, the A-League keepers are seriously not that good, right? It can't all just be we're making shots but they're getting stopped.
We suck.
I don't think I saw also going with Grant's thing with I saw they went Dimi benched, like in saying that he's figured out. But also with Ronnie back, he's playing out on the right where he was playing in the middle last year when Ronnie wasn't there. And so maybe he's taking those shots because he's got less time because they have figured him out. But I think it's just with Roybach, you could see that things are looking better. He was splitting the defence. The goal he scored was awesome. So I think it's a matter of time before we click, to be honest.
I certainly hope so. You guys are surprisingly optimistic. I think if we'd had two different panelists, we might have had an angrier assessment of that situation.
Yeah, look, but that's the point. It's too easy to it's so easy to be pessimistic about it and bag the crap out of them. You know, I didn't see anybody out there not having a go on Sunday night. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. That's the sad part. If we did, I suppose we'd all be champions. But we know we're not getting any money in January. There's a little likelihood of that. Thank you, Mr. Trump. We've got what we've got. The only thing that's going to make any sort of difference is the to-be-confirmed Joey Champness return. You know, and everybody keeps talking about the end of. The end of January, but you know we're going to find out if that is going to be the end of January. I seen a photo of him running the other day. He's at training and putting in the yard, so it might be too far away. And that gives to me that gives us another O'Donovan option. You know, he's more in the O'Donovan style of a attacking striker. So that gives us that more of a firepower with some of the look at the defenders. Look at the crowd that was booing. Yeah, we were booing Izzo. Was it Izzo? Yeah. Because of the time wasting and all this sort of thing. It was because that's what they just copied Perth from the week before. They take the sting out of our tail. You know, we're firing away, and all of a sudden they start to slow the game down, and then they get control. So, yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly. You know, as Ernie said, you know, I'll be doing this. You know, the coaches, you know, it's up to the referee to control that. It's the coaches are going to tell them this is how we're going to beat Newcastle. Slow the game down, you know, and take your time, guys, because that puts them off, and it works. And that's what happened. That's what happened in the middle of that first half.
It seems like a bit of a simple trap for us to keep falling into, though. If it's that simple to beat us, we're really not earning our money, are we?
No, that's right. That's right. So we need to be doing something different, don't we? As I say, we're not going to get players. We're not going to get different players for Champness. You know, I don't see any of the players that are sitting on the bench that can make too much of a difference than what we've got. You know, you're going to put in Voitsa for a Hoffman.
You know? You can tell that Grant's listened to the podcast before, everyone, because he's putting all the future questions in his first up answer. Getting carried away with who we're putting in. That's coming up in the preview part.
Sorry.
I've got a run sheet here, mate.
Sorry. I told you it's an emotional game, isn't it?
I will say... go ahead.
I reckon we could use Pato at this time of the season, to be honest.
Interesting.
And when we do invent time machine football, we'll be able to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
That's on my to-do list.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's talk about the goals then, boys, which Grant has touched on already. Let's start with obviously the first goal. Adelaide scored in the first half. It came from, I guess you'd call it a bit of a chip from Halloran that put Moss off balance. He kind of did a backwards dive and missed completely. In real time, I thought he'd tried to palm it away instead of catching it, and I was a bit furious. And then when I saw the replay on the big screen, I realised it had actually come off the post and Moss had missed it completely. And Mile Yuzhnich was in exactly the right position just to pop it in. So what went wrong there? Who lost their player in the defence, and should Moss have done better, Lucas?
I can't remember what centre-back it was, but O'Halloran made a really good run, and I think it was Bogart. He was just pushed up too high, and they had that space in behind to make that run. So he just got caught out there, but it was kind of a freak of a goal. I couldn't actually see if Moss got a touch to it or not, and I kept thinking if he didn't touch it, and it bounced off the post, it would have been fine for one of our centre-backs to clear it. But because it hit the post, it changed the direction and put it for the Adelaide player to score. I can't pronounce his last name.
Yeah, he was in exactly the right position. It was kind of a freakish positioning. You know, 9 times out of 10, it probably wouldn't have fallen right where it did. But, it did hurt me to see Moss taken so off guard, I guess you'd say. Grant, did you see it the same way?
Yeah, look, I did, and I was the same with you as you, Emma, that Moss did seem to be taken off guard. I think it's just surprising he's gone in for that, Halloran's gone in for that chip. Was, you know, I don't know if Halloran was shooting for a goal or, you know, or trying to pass it to Milutinović. But the results were the same in the end. You know, they scored out of it, and it wasn't pretty, but at least it put them up 1-0.
Yeah, so they got to go to the sheds up. What do you reckon Ernie said to the boys at halftime?
I would have thought he was still, we've been in those positions before, where we've gone in one. Last year was a bit of a trait of ours. We didn't get going until we were behind, and I would have thought that he wasn't too upset. He would have just been saying, keep going, keep playing, keep moving the ball around. I think our ball movement was quite good. There was, I think it broke down a little bit during that change that was made after at the halftime break, and we changed keeper at halftime too. So that sort of changed the dynamics a bit.
Yeah, let's talk about those subs before we go on to the goals that happened in the second half, because I think they go together. As you said, two halftime subs, which is unusual to say the least. One of them, I guess you would say, was forced in terms of Moss going off, Italiano coming on. And then the more surprising stub with Steven Ugarkovic going off and Matt Redenton coming on. So let's start with the unusual one, Steve Ugarkovic getting sent off at halftime. Lucas, do you have any idea why that might have been the choice for the halftime substitute?
I think I have an idea, because we play with two sixes, so it was Kenarowski and Ugarkovic. And I remember the commentator saying that Ernie was screaming at Ugarkovic. He was obviously not... Yeah, move up, get involved, because with our two sixes, I think one sits and protects the back four while one pushes forward and offers something offensively. And Steve just wasn't doing that. I think he was, maybe playing it too safe or too deep. And Ernie must have really not liked it, because, he got subbed at half time because he just wasn't providing that offensive, like the two-way football. It was just the defensive side.
So subbed for not listening.
And maybe he's looking something for different for Redenton. When we were at the game, my mate that I sit with, he was saying he thought Redenton did quite well, and I was bagging the hell out of him because he was doing a lot of Hail Mary type passes that were getting cut out, and I thought we really, sort of lost a bit when Redenton come on. But again, after I sat down and watched the game on the replay, I thought, well, I could see where my mate was coming from. He's still doing the Hail Mary passes, but he was offering something slightly different to what Ugarkovic was doing. But I don't know if it made much of a difference then, but I'd like to see Steve Ugarkovic stay on, because he had that crack in the first half at goal. And I think that, given the opportunity, he might have been able to do it again. But, and he's the coach, and he sees what he sees, I suppose. What about your thoughts? I know you're a big Ugarkovic fan. Emma, what do you think of that change?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised because, he is quite often our man of the match. He's very instrumental in the distribution. I obviously, watched it live, not on the television, so I didn't hear the comment about Ernie giving him instructions that weren't being taken. So, yeah, I guess that makes sense as a reason to do the sub. But also probably could have been sorted out with a good chat at halftime about what the instructions were and what he needed to do. And especially because there was the forced sub with Moss going off and Italiano coming on, I would have thought you would have wanted to keep experience and consistency on the park when you're doing a big change like that. So let's talk about that one then. So obviously Glenn Moss got injured late in the first half, so it was a timely substitute at halftime. I actually, before I ask you guys what you think, I was quite pleased with this sub. I was very impressed with what Italiano brought, and I was disappointed with what Moss had delivered so far in the first half. So I figured it couldn't get any worse, and I think Italiano did a very good job overall. Do you guys agree, Lucas?
Yeah, I was happy with Italiano. But, you know, it's unfortunate for Moss. It was like a gash to the thigh or the quad, I think it was. And I saw in our chat that you can usually tell with a keeper, you know, if they're injured by their first touch or their first goal kick to see if they're good to go. And it's unfortunate that he had to come off.
Well, look, I think if anybody asks Moss why did he come to the Jets, it would be to come as the second keeper, the number two. And because he's in the twilight of his career, he's still a good keeper, but he knows he's a number two. And it's just that we've, you know, obviously it's money. That's you know, look, we've got Birigidi sitting down at Sydney there, down at City, you know, playing. He's number two, can't get on the park, you know. I think we'd have him back in a heartbeat. But Italiano, I think, did extremely well, and I'll be keen to see how he goes against Brisbane, because, you know, there was one good it was belted straight at him and made a good save, but that second good save he made where the Adelaide player was coming in for the head, he just snatched it out of the air. That was a good reflex save, and I thought, well, you know, and penalty, well, you know, you at 50-50 which way you're going to dive for a penalty. But, yeah, no, he acquitted himself quite well for his first run. So, looking for more from him, I suppose.
Yep, and we'll talk about in the preview, Moss will be having the week off this week with his injury, so we will get to see more of Italiano. So I'm actually, I'm quite excited for that possibility. I think you're right, Moss has a lot to give as the experienced keeper, but I think what we saw in previous years with an experienced keeper being able to support a younger keeper can deliver very good results. So hopefully that works out. Before we talk about the other two goals, let's talk about our last sub. Jair, again, did not make it through an entire game with Kane Shepherd coming on later in the game for him. Jair, will he ever make it through a game, Lucas?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I liked what he provided. When he was on the park, but yeah, I'm not sure if he's just a 60-70 minute player or he's not up to scratch. He's had a few games under his belt now, so I guess only time will tell.
You know, I think time's run out for him from my point of view, and I'm a massive, I'm quite supportive of him, you know, give him time, only being with us 3 weeks before we started, all that stuff. I was the one that was saying all that, and he's now getting to the point where, you know, he's having the same sort of footsie trouble everybody else is. He tripped over himself in a 6-yard box there after missing on the first attempt. And if he's not getting through the 60 minutes, you know, we've got some problems. You know, look at Vargas, everybody else is getting through. But I tell you who I do like is that bloody sub he put on, is that Kane Shepherd. And again, another assist this week for a goal. I think he's big, he's tough, he turns the players, he can turn them and push them around. I like the big lad. I think he's going to be, he could be with us for a little while, Mr. Shepherd. So, yeah.
I agree.
I think he'll end up starting, and that'll be the sad thing. Well, won't be sad for us if he's doing it right, if he's scoring, but what we might find Jair sitting on the bench and Kane Shepherd starting.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's disappointing to me that Jair can't seem to make it through the match. The sub, I think, was at 70, 71 minutes. But, yeah, I agree that what Kane Shepherd brings when he comes on is absolutely beneficial to the team. And I think we will see him getting, or I hope we see him getting more game time in the future, but that obviously needs to be at someone's detriment, and it very well might be Jair. I think, as you say, a bit disappointing, I guess, with the, you know, efforts we went to in that recruitment. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. And, you know, if Kane Shepherd can fill that spot, all power to him. So let's talk about the two goals in the second half then. We had a few almost chances before we got to Roy actually scoring a goal. And as you said, assisted by Kane Shepherd, beautifully passed in across from Shepherd, and Roy put it home. As you said earlier, Grant, I don't know what you'd call it, whether you'd call it poise or nous. It was that kind of, you know, I probably wouldn't have gotten to it because I wouldn't have gotten my composure back, but that kind of striker's instinct, I guess, took over for Roy, and he headed it in. I think it was a lovely goal. But as I said on the post-match video, still expecting more from Roy. One goal, one goal might be too little too late in terms of, you know, the time he's had out and the damage that's been done. Does anyone else have any thoughts they want to add on that goal? Sorry, I kind of just did a monologue there.
he owes the club. He owes the club and the fans big time. He certainly does. You know, forget about what it is. He's had 8 weeks off the main season and it's cost us. So he's got to own it, and he does, I'm sure. But he owes the club and he owes us as fans many more goals. And what I've seen so far is he's trying to provide it. But that goal, as I say, I know you watched it, Lucas, and he was diving backwards when he popped that in, and I thought, yeah, that's a striker's goal, that one. That was lovely. I replayed it a couple of times.
All right, Lucas, then it falls to you to talk about we were 1-1 at 90 minutes. We were all happy. Everyone in my bay was saying this is a good result for this game, very happy. And then the penalty. The penalty in the 90th minute, 91st minute. What happened?
Look, everyone can blame Bogart for the challenge, but he's a centre-back, so he's there to make those challenges. You know, another day, the touch could be different. He makes a great tackle and we go on. Who was it that nicked it forward? Kiddo nicked it forward just a bit longer than like Grant said, and he caught him. So,
but was that kind of challenge necessary in that situation, or could he have been more conservative in that challenge? It wasn't really a do or die moment in that second, was it?
No, I don't think it was. And I was thinking, did he really need to do that? You know, and I guess you can tell the expression on his face afterwards, especially when Goodwin scored. Is that he probably didn't need to, but I think it was just a rush of blood to the head saying, I'm going to win this challenge and we'll go on the counter and maybe we'll score, but it went the other way.
Mm. You think about how many of those sort of tackles he's made so far this season where they've come off, and this time it's just all mistimed and it's been our undoing. So, you know, he'll live with that. So he'll own it. He looked like he owned it. He must have felt really guilty because I think he was the last one out still signing shirts and out at the end of the game, wasn't he? But it was heartbreaking, wasn't it? That was just that's what football's about. If you wanted to see what life is all about, it's just right of the death and did us terrible. I had a little tear.
It was heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. Yeah, I.
But Ernie's news conference was quite good, so yeah, it was quite good.
Grant, mate, you should host. Let's just throw the press conference now.
It is.
So many chances.
As I walk down the corridor, I'm thinking, am I going to see it all again? You know, all these shots, and we lose the game. But that was the nature of it. In the first couple of minutes, we had two great chances, Roy and Jair, and we've been unlucky enough not to put those away, but I'd love to put a goal away early on and go on with it. But it wasn't to be. And then middle of the first half, I thought our passing was really sloppy, which is unusual for us. And then towards the end of the first half, we came strong again after they scored a goal. In the second half, I thought we dominated with nothing to show for it. The first goal was against her on a play. I mean, just a lob that hit off the post. I don't know if their striker actually meant to play it in, but it was a nothing sort of goal. The penalty at the end, and that seems to be the story of our lives. We had something like 47 entries into their penalty box to their 18. The shots were, 27 to 13? We really need to put those shots away, or else we're just shooting ourselves in the foot. We're not going to create much this year at all. And that comes down to individual play.
I suppose it says it all that they're probably the best player tonight.
Yeah, I'm sick of goalkeepers being the best players against us. He did very well, Izzo. I just wish the referees would do something about time wasting, which started in the first half. We had it with Perth, we had it with several teams, we had it with Victory. They've got to stop that sort of time wasting. It's driving everyone crazy. Just got on with the game, but I don't blame the coach for doing it and the goalkeeper and the players for doing it. If they can get away with it, they'll do it. But I can't complain about that, really. It's all about us scoring goals.
And Glenn Moss,
Glenn Moss, it was a sort of collision in the box. Not sure clear whose studs hit him, but it's a pretty bad gash in his quadriceps. It's like 8 centimetres long, it's pretty deep, and he's got 12 stitches in it. He'll be out for a couple of weeks minimum.
You got your equaliser, did you sense you could?
Well, I always sense we're doing well because we've got attack, and once we score one, we're looking good for a second, and we just attacked, and then against the run of play, they caught us, and Nigel slid in, mistimed it, penalty, but I thought the back four was really outstanding. Both fullbacks, Jason and Daniel, were getting forward really well. The service diagonal passes from Nikolai and Nigel to them was first class. Up front, I was a bit disappointed that Roy's goal, his first goal, was deemed to be offside. I'd like to look at that again, but we had more than enough chances to win that game.
One positive, obviously, is Roy. Roy got on the score sheet.
Yeah, he got on the score sheet twice. One was offside, but no, he looked. He was very unlucky with his header in the first few minutes. He glanced it and just didn't get enough on it, and it was just inches past the post. As I say, once we start scoring those, we'll be a different team. I felt that Steve and Ben were doing a good job defensively, but I didn't think we were creatively doing enough playmaking in there, and so I switched things around a little bit and brought on someone fresh. It's not that Steve played badly, but I'm going to have to make changes anyway because we're playing on Wednesday. We've got a lot of games coming up, so Lewis got his chance tonight and come in and did a very good job. I thought Matt Redenton did well when he came on, and Kane put on once again. He set up the goal, and he did that last time he came on. So it's a positive sign that I've got good quality coming off the bench.
Do you see Shepherd as a player that can provide?
Well, he's proven that he can provide goals. He's done it a couple of times now. He set up Ronnie's last week, and he's very good at holding possession of the ball and turning players, and he's good in the air, and he's any ball going in the box, he's the type of person that you'd want in there with Roy. So we've virtually played with two high at the end of the game.
Given the result tonight, Ernie, how important is Wednesday?
They're all important now, Robert. They're all important. Our boys are devastated. And once again, some of the players from the other team says it's a tough game, you know, he's controlled that game. We're very happy to get the win, but we can only sort it ourselves, and it's all about up front. I don't think we're conceding much at all. It's up front, it's scoring goals and taking those opportunities. It was good to see Roy scoring, but we need more. It can't come down to one person. So it's not about Roy from now on, it's about Roy and everyone else.
With regard to Glenn Moss being out, do you have a backup goalkeeper at this point?
Yes, well, you mean to back up Lewis if Lewis starts? Yeah, young Noah James. Noah James has been training on a regular basis and doing a great job, playing in the National Youth League, doing very well. We don't need to sign the lad from Apia anymore. What's his name? The 40-year-old who did a good job for us. Now we've got Noah James. He's doing well. Happy New Year, everyone. I wish it was a wee bit happier, but never mind.
All right. Well, that's what Ernie thinks. Thanks again to Fox for letting us use the press conference material there. It was nice to get an out there to stop talking about that pen because it did hurt me. And I will add, I don't think anyone holds it at all against Italiano that he couldn't stop that against Craig Goodwin. It was quite a nice shot. And Craig Goodwin, we miss you. Okay, so let's go on then. Does anyone have a man of the match they would like to nominate? Lucas.
I thought about a man of the match.
It's all right. We'll go to Grant while you think. We'll come back. Grant.
Go to Grant, yeah.
Nico Topper-Stanley.
Because he's doing all the work that Bugard should be doing?
He was all over it. He so many times come out of that back line and pinched the ball or was there just waiting for that delivery and towering over their forwards. And, it even went for a bit of a run there at one stage. He'd come out of the back line and end up in the 18-yard. And to me, he was our man of the match. There was a couple of others, I thought, but for me, he got the gong for me.
Lucas, what about you? Got one yet?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I do. So I was thinking Shepherd for the cross. That was a great cross for Roy's goal. But I'll go with Topor because Grant just reminded me about that lung-busting left flank run, which is crazy. I was just like, what is he doing? But that was great. So I'll go Topor.
Someone, one of the boys in the post-match video also went with Topor, I'm pretty sure. So you're in good company there. I'm going to stick with what I said immediately post-match and say Italiano because I know that it's incredibly difficult to front up when you're the number two and to come in at short notice. And I think he put in a better half than what Moss did in the first half. So I'm going to go with Italiano. Looking forward to what we see from him in the future. So before I move on to the women's, does anyone have anything else they want to add? I can't remember the crowd figure. I think it's about 9,500 odd.
9,005 was
your. Oh, 9,005. So only just 9,000. Yeah. It was a hot night. Obviously, celebratory kind of time of year. Lots of people will be away from home. So I think it was a decent turnout. And the crowd was pretty involved in the game, I felt. So yeah,
it was
well
good. That was one of the most vocal crowds that we'd had. You know, I think whether it's a little bit of a lot of those people, I'm sure, were there last week at the Mariners game, thinking we let's try and replicate it. So yeah, it was good. A lot of feeling in the crowd, wasn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, that feeling did end up being heartbreak. Okay, so. Let's move on then to the women's. So the women's was supposed to be a doubleheader playing right before the men's, but got delayed due to the heat, and we ended up having that game at 9:30 a.m. the next day. I went with plans to meet fellow panellist here, Grant, at the ground, thinking there'd only be 12 people there and we'd find each other very easily. And I think it was about 1,500 that showed up. It was a really good turnout. But unfortunately, the storyline was so heartbreakingly similar to the men's, where we had our girls were up, then they were even, then they were up again. They were up at the end of regulation time and then gave away two goals during the 6 minutes of injury time. It was another day of heartbreak. It was properly heartbreaking. Our first goal was nice. Nice goal from Tegan Collister. Our second goal, I think, was an own goal from them, still was a freakish kind of lob in to get that own goal, so complete skill. And obviously we're still missing quite a few big names. Taylor Smith obviously is out long term. I saw her at the game, and she seemed to be quite mobile for someone who's just done an ACL, so hopefully that is a good sign in as to where she's at. And also Katie Stengel didn't play. She was up in the stands as well. Grant, I know you were at the match. How did you enjoy it? And please do tell us again about the heartbreak.
Yes, well, it's it was quite good because we think we're going to get roasted like a chook in that hot sun, but they were very smart, very clever, and we appreciate Jets management because they got them to open up the top floor in the western stand, so everybody went up and was in shade. And because you're up that high, it's you're looking down on it, so you see a lot of the movement that the players are doing and where they're going with it. And that, so it was quite good, and I must say I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was quite exciting. There's a few things there. Obviously, the speed and the speed of the game, and some of the skill levels not there towards where the men's game is. But the excitement, I think, there's more excitement in the women's game because of the things happen what happens on the field there. And the crowd was getting going. There's a couple of young kids in front of us, and they screamed all day with the chant and got the claps going and that. So the atmosphere was good. I'm quite sure all the girls could hear us, and we thought we're getting away, and we're looking at the table thinking, well, that's going to put us into about fourth spot, you beauty. And then they put on 6 minutes for the two drinks breaks they did have in the second half and a couple of subs, and then it all fell to pieces. And we went from 2-1 to down 3-2. It was, and the last one was in, I don't know, the last dying seconds. It was seriously heartbreaking. I think it was worse than after Sunday night. Look, and you could see the girls felt it as well. They was absolutely shattered. I suppose the heat would have contributed, but they was absolutely shattered. I felt so sorry for them.
But Adelaide were playing in the same heat, so. And they seemed to fire in that injury time. They switched straight on as soon as we backed off.
Yeah, well, and that's the problem. We seem to wilt in the sun. And the chap that I sit next to said he thinks maybe Adelaide might have the advantage because they play in the heat more than we do. But either way, we seem to wilt in that last six. I don't know whether they thought we've got to the 90 minutes, so, okay, we just play this out. And Adelaide just kept coming and kept coming, and they got the result out of it. But, terrible shame. I don't think we're running out of games to do it, but if we can get a couple more players back, we'll have a good crack at the finals for sure.
Wow, you are optimistic. You really are following through on that being better pledge for New Year's, because I'm not as optimistic for the finals for our girls at all. Lucas, do you have any optimism about the finals for our girls as we currently stand?
I do remember Craig Dean's talking about the heat in the post-match thing, and he said, no excuses, but it was just such a crazy game. I only watched the first 20 minutes, half an hour, and I had to leave my home, but... it was an awesome goal by Tegan. And if we can string some results together, I think we can make it, because there's quality in the team. If we can get everyone fit and firing kind of thing. It's a shame that Taylor's out. But, yeah, I reckon we can still make it. Just need to string some good results together.
Yeah, I think we still can mathematically, but I think it's probably unlikely. Well done to everyone who turned out. And Grant is absolutely correct. The kids in the active support, or not in the active support, the kids doing their active support was phenomenal for this women's match. I think we've got some future active support leaders in those kids. And I think we've got a few happy parents, because I think there'll be a few kids who have lost their voice for the rest of the holidays with that performance. So well done to those kids. And it's also so nice when you're at the W League games and you see the little kids with the they've actually got W League jerseys with the W League players' names on them. They're not just A League fans who have rocked over for a second game of football. They're proper supporters of the women's game, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And it was fun going to a morning match. Unusual, but definitely more bearable than the heat would have been. So chin up, girls. Hopefully, we can get some more improvement in the results in the coming weeks. So let's switch now to the preview, because we've got this compressed summer of football. We're doing review and preview together tonight. So we're going to talk now about our game coming up, which will be tonight by the time you're all listening to this, against Brisbane Roar. We're playing at home. Due to the way the draw and roster has been figured out, we're somehow playing round 12 before we play round 11. Bit confusing, but it is round 12 and we are at home against the Brisbane Roar. Something else that's confusing is Brisbane Roar's entire existence, I guess you'd say. So Brisbane Roar, massive schmozzle at the moment. They've just lost their coach, whether that's for better or worse. Boys, I will get you to discuss that. So they've been one match now without Aloisi, and they did lose that match. I guess they're looking maybe for the post-resignation bounce that you often see, hopefully that doesn't come against us. So, Lucas, do you think that the Aloisi resignation is well-timed for us, or do you wish Aloisi and his nonsense had held on a few more weeks until we had the opportunity to trounce them?
I watched the game on the weekend. They played Sydney, they lost 2-1, but they actually looked a bit better than previous weeks when Aloisi was there, so it's probably bad timing, because they probably want to prove that they're not a basket case up there in Brisbane, but I don't think it'll be any problem for us.
Grant, you agree?
One of the things, I think they got their bounce, and I think they thought they were going to have a draw with Sydney, and then Target stepped up to take that penalty and missed. So Sydney scraped through to get the win, and I'm hoping that's what took the wind out of their sails, and there won't be a bounce, because it's interesting, the week before, I think it was, Bowles was out when Aloisi was there, and now the substitute teachers come in and put the kid back in, put Bowles back in. So I'm wondering if there's still some disharmony, because all the Fox pundits are saying he's lost it. Aloisi lost it because he's got too much. He hasn't got enough youth coming through. He's still relying on the old guard type of thing. So I'm hoping there's still a bit of disarray in there, and it's going to take them a while to sort of sort it out. And that adrenaline rush that they would get by come on boys, let's do it for the skipper type of thing. Was lost against Sydney, and they'll come down knowing that they always have it's really 50-50, isn't it, I suppose, but they do have a hard time against us, and that's pretty traditional, so we'll want to make amends for our loss against Adelaide. They're in disarray. I think we've got a bit of a chance. I've picked them to win, so I think we can do it.
All right, well, while we're talking about the basket case that is Brisbane right now. Obviously, they've got an interim coach, but they've also got some changes coming in their squad this week. A few ins that might do us some damage. So Thomas Christensen is back in their squad this week. Stefan Nigro is back in. Wenzel Halls and Jay Barnett are both back in. Thomas Christensen coming back, I think, could potentially be a problem for us. He's a previously been a key player in their squad who hasn't, really delivered on his potential this season, let's say. Who in the Raw squad do we need to watch out for, boys? And will that return to the squad from Christensen do us damage? Lucas?
Well, Taggart's always dangerous. He's a poacher. Coletti had a really good game against Sydney, I thought, so I reckon he's a young player that we need to watch out for.
Yeah, look, I agree. Taggart can pop up. Mackay, he's old. His legs are just about gone, but still he can be quite dangerous. And that's the same that goes for the Slippery Fish. He's about 4'6", isn't he? But he can always come out of somewhere and score. So these are the ones, because he's quite quick and quite fast. So he's something we've really got to look after. But our tall timber should be able to look after that. But I think Sorensen. What were you saying? He's coming back there.
Christensen?
Sorry?
Thomas Christensen?
Christensen, yes, sorry, yeah. He is dangerous. Hopefully he's coming back, so he won't be necessarily up to full speed. But Taggart, I think, is still their main line of attack, so he's the one we need to control.
Yeah,
he's
got a
point to prove.
Taggart's fast becoming the one-man show for Brisbane Roar. I think they're getting lulled into that just get it to Taggart kind of mentality that we had for many years with just lob it to the striker and surely they'll put it in. I think there's a little bit of lack of cohesion in the Brisbane team. So hopefully we can take advantage of that and split their field. I don't think Christensen's going to come back and play a full match. And I think there's been a little disharmony in the squad that I'm hoping we can poke some needles in. And I look forward to seeing which of our backs gets paired with Taggart to kind of throw him off his guard, I guess. They are also, I should mention, missing Daniel Bowles, who is suspended. So
was he out, is he?
He's got 1 week off.
Yeah.
1 week off for, accrued yellows. So... we don't need to worry about him breaking anyone's legs, which will be nice. Hopefully Matt McKay doesn't break any legs for reals. They're also missing Papadopoulos is out with a glute injury. Holman's still out with his knee injury, and Stephen Mork is out with a groin injury. So three potentially key players that they're also missing. So I feel a bit bad for Raw, the situation they're in, but, yeah, also I hope we can take advantage of it. What about us, boys? Who are you thinking? It has been a very short turnaround and it has been a very hot week. So what are you thinking in terms of lineups? Are we going unchanged, or are we making big changes to take into account the turnaround, Grant?
I think we're going to go in with I've seen the squad there earlier. I'm just trying to find it online now, but I think we'll go in with the same squad that we were looking at. The only thing I'm thinking is that Jaye might get replaced by Kane Shepherd. I don't know if Shepherd's up to a full a starting position as far as fitness is concerned yet. But
could you do it the other way around, though? Start Shepherd and then sub him at 60 minutes and let Jaye do the last 40?
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that, because Jaye has got some trickery about him, and I think more so he's got some real flair about some of his ball work, and I think that might be the sort of thing that you could look for later in the game when other legs are starting to get tired and they're looking at more of a defensive sort of thing, settling the positions down in the last 20, and we put on somebody like that after you've had somebody the size of Kane Shepherd battering about up front. So, I think that, to me, that wouldn't be a bad option and something worthwhile looking at. I can't see if our fullbacks being replaced. I think they all played a good game. And again, I don't think Stevie Yagagovich has done anything wrong to lose his spot. So, yeah, that would be the only thing I'd be looking at.
Yeah, so I should say our official ins for the week are Cowburn and Jackson. Both coming into the squad. Obviously, there's two to be omitted. And Noah James obviously comes up on the bench with Moss having reportedly 1 week off, or one match off. Yeah. So those are our official changes. Lucas, is there anything you'd do differently in terms of the lineup?
Well, similar with Kane Shepherd coming in, but with the formation, we kind of play with the one striker, and I'm thinking, because Kane Shepherd's like a really traditional number nine, isn't he? You know, a battering ram. And Ernie isn't known for changing his formation. So is Kane Shepherd up to playing on the flank and running up and down, or he gives him instructions not to come back on defence and double up? I don't know. I'd like to see Shepherd start and Jaye benched, but with our formation, I don't think it'll be allowed.
Okay, so while we're on that then, so you can't see us changing the formation? Do you think this is locked in and we're just slotting players into what we've got?
Yeah, because Ernie loves his, like, 4-2-3-1, and with Kane Shepherd, he's, like, unless, he can play on the flank. I don't think in the NPL he played on the flank. He was the number nine, so, yep. Yeah. Yeah, so unless Roy wants to play out on the flank, I can't see that happening, but I'd like to, so I guess we'll just have to see.
So two at the front isn't an option?
I don't think Ernie will do that at all, no.
I think you might be right, but I'd still like to see it.
Yeah, well, maybe we should be in the dugout and we can have a go.
Yeah, that's what I'd be yelling out. I'll yell at it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we going to do? How, if we keep the formation the same, maybe put Shepherd and Jaye subs the other way around, where are our goals coming from in that lineup and that formation?
Well, as I say, I think if you did see that, it's already proven with Vargas's lovely goal there against Central Coast there last week with an assist by Shepherd. Donovan's first goal back with the assist by Shepherd. Two of those things don't make a pattern at the moment, but I think it will be a good place to start. So that's where I would see some of the goals coming. I think it's a matter of time. Before we see Dimmy scoring goals like he was I think the game against Adelaide was the first time I've seen him having pings from well outside the 18, and he hit a couple of them with some real venom. And a couple there that actually put on to the keeper, but just wide. Others were doing a bit of a Zadkovic in row Z. So, look, I'm hoping to see that Dimmy gets some of that confidence back we can do a bit more keeping him clear and giving him a bit more ground, because that'll get him away from having to try and make touches. I'd like to be able to buy him a right foot and see if he can spend, instead of trying to get half of it, trying to spend that time to get it onto his left. I think that's a bit of a problem that he has. And I think to all those haters out there, you're always going to get Hoffy coming up and having a go to try and get one in. And he's prolific at doing that. He did it last year. He's already done it this year. So I can see that happening again as well, especially from some of our set pieces.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope we do see some goals, be it from set pieces or open play, and not just shots. Does anyone else have anything they want to add on what we're expecting from that match before I ask you both for your tips?
Nah.
I'll take that silence as a no. All right, so what are you guys expecting points-wise out of this match? Lucas?
I reckon we'll get the 3 points, and I reckon it'll be... We beat them 2-0 last time we played them. Is that right? It was a home game?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it'll be the same, 2-0.
Great.
Well, yeah, that's actually the same score that I'd had, because I'm liking it to think that Taliano can get a clean sheet on his first start. So I'm thinking we're good for 2 goals, and Taliano is going to be as big as a house in front of those goals. So, yeah, 2-0 for me as well.
Okay, well, let's – I'm actually going to go the same. Let's go a three-peat on that. 2-0, brill. Let's go to the rest of the games that are being played in the next few days, which are all round 11 fixtures other than us. So we've got coming up on Friday, we've got Sydney FC at home to the Central Coast Mariners. Tips there, Lucas.
Is it an away game? Because if it's a home game, they might have goalposts to put up, right?
See, it's at home in Sydney.
God, that was shocking, wasn't it? I couldn't believe that.
It's not the first time they've broken the goals.
And I was out to dinner, and I had the app going, and I was watching the game, and I seen, just as I put it on, I've seen that the Perth player go through the back of the net. I said, he just broke the goal. And so then I've said that out loud, so my wife has seen what I was doing. So I got into trouble, obviously, for watching football while at dinner. And anyway, so I turned it off, and I've come back, and I've turned it back on about an hour later, and it said it was about 20 minutes into the game. I thought, what's gone wrong there? I said, it can't be that. There's something wrong. And then I found out later there's a 45-minute delay trying to get the goals. But that was just comical, wasn't it?
Yeah, they also had quite a hectic storm come
Perth
through.
Perth created history by scoring in 3 separate goals in one game.
Stealing material from the internet there?
Yes, I am.
Is anyone going to give me a tip for this game?
Oh, look.
I believe Sydney are providing the goals.
Yeah. We'll go 5-0.
A Bodie special.
One upping on a Bodie special.
So, yeah.
I reckon it's going to be similar to this week. The Mariners will get a sympathy goal just to keep the taste in their mouths, but they won't get very far. So I'm thinking like a 5-1 kind of scoreline there. On Saturday, we have Adelaide at home to Wellington Phoenix. Phoenix have been crazy good this year. Adelaide, though, also doing quite well, and obviously coming off a high with their last-minute poach against us. Boys, what are you thinking? Grant?
Look, I think Adelaide at home are going to be too good, but I think it'll be a 1-0 Adelaide.
Lucas?
I'll try and keep the Knicks... good thing going, because I think they do hold some value in our league. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I'm going to also go a draw, but a high-scoring draw, so maybe like a 3-all or a 2-all.
Mm-hmm. That'd be exciting.
Also on Saturday in the evening is the Wanderers hosting Melbourne Victory. I'm not sure I'll watch this game. It'll probably just make me too angry. I'll give you mine first. I'm going to go a 1-1 draw.
2-1 for me, Victory. I think Wanderers is still in trouble.
Yeah, I think the Wanderers are a bit of a mess as well. I assume Honda's going to be back for this game.
I keep forgetting about it. I keep picking bloody Victory and he doesn't
play. Is he coming back?
Shit.
I'm not sure. If he is, like, I guess it kind of matters a bit because he is a great player. I'll say Victory's going to win 3-0. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm. You can maybe do the with Honda tip and without Honda tip.
Okay, it'll be. I reckon it'll be a 1-1 draw if it's without Honda, and a 2-1 win the Victory if with Honda.
All right. Well, also in this round is next Sunday when we play Melbourne City, but I'll leave that one for the next pod to talk about. And finishing off round 11 will be Raw playing again on Sunday versus Perth. Thoughts on that?
The weirdest one, the game has kicked off as we're doing the recording. The Western Windy Wanderers are playing City tonight at 7:50, so it's about 8:30-ish. So, and I don't know what the score is, so what do you reckon?
Yeah, that was round 10, though.
Is it?
Yeah, that so round 10. Yeah, that's the round just gone. So that will have been tipped on the previous pod by other people. Summer of football, time is a construct. Is anyone going to give me a tip?
For the Perth-Brisbane?
Perth-Brisbane.
Brisbane-Perth, sorry, yeah. I'll say 1-0 Brisbane. They're going
to... I'm going to go to that as well. Yeah, I think I'll bounce back on that one.
You guys are tipping Perth Brisbane against Perth. Okay, well, I'm going to tip Perth for trouncing Brisbane. I'm going to go 3-0. And before we go real quick, let's talk about the upcoming W League game on Friday. Our girls are away to Sydney FC in the women's. Again, we're still missing some key players and we're coming off the, I'll say it again, heartbreak. And Sydney have a good squad and are slightly higher than us on the ladder at the moment. So they're in sixth place. We're in eighth place for the women. Any thoughts on that game, boys? Do you want to give me a tip? Are we expecting heartbreak again?
Yeah. I'm going to go draw.
There's a lot of good players in that Sydney squad.
Yeah. But again, they're not firing, though, are they? Yeah, otherwise they'd be still further. You know, with a victory, they're on 16 points, and Sydney are on 9, and that's that Sydney are in 6th spot, and we're sitting in 8th on 7 points. So
they've got a Beanie, they've got Ford, they've got Davana, they've got
Ogazza.
Yeah, they've got Bledsoe, they've got Kennedy. A lot of good girls. I don't want to talk you out of our team, but that's a rough squad, and I'm not sure what's been going on with them that they haven't got as many results going their way this season as I would have expected.
I'll tip a draw. I reckon we're going to get a rough out of draw, to be honest.
Rough out of draw? That'd be nice. I'd be happy with a draw. I'd be very happy with a draw. Yep. A draw with goals. Let's go for that. Let's do it with our minds. All right, then. Well, I hope you've enjoyed, everyone, this New Year's edition of our review/preview pod. Sorry for the disorganisation, but it is that time of year where, you know, no one really knows what time of day it is or what's going on. So this was a rough one for me. I'll just remind you all, we are on all of the socials, Facebook, Instagram, what's the other one? Twitter. And obviously if you're listening to this, you know where you can find podcasts, but look us up on all those podcast apps, whatever your fave is. If we're not there, hopefully we will be soon, or just go on to newcastlefootball.net and find the podcast as well as Dave's stats and all the forums and everything there. Because I guess, you know, we had good results last season and we've reached the point where we're suffering again a little bit as Jets fans, and I think having that football community there to keep us going when we are a little bit disappointed / heartbroken / raging on our keyboards is a very important thing. So do find us on the socials, but remember, I guess, Grant's do better. Getting angry is a bit therapeutic, but also not always great. So, let us know what you guys think. A lot of you have told us what you thought of the last match. Let us know what you think of our will happen in our round coming up against Brisbane. I haven't looked up our tipping competition for this week, but I'm pretty sure Joel Goodsir is still thrashing everyone in the tips. Grant and I were coming up behind him, but I'm pretty sure I got no points from this round of tipping, so I'm definitely no longer in the mix, so we'll update you as that moves forward. So I guess all that remains to be said is go the Jets.
Yeah, go the Jets, and remember, it's not Sunday.
Go the Jets.
I don't even know what day it is, honestly.
I just know it's not Sunday because I thought it was.
I've only got dates at this time of year. Yeah, you were saying the game on Friday, and I'm like, the game on Friday? I don't know whether it was on Friday. I think it was on Sunday.
But it's not Sunday. I know it's not Sunday today.
Yeah. It's a day that ends in Y.
Yeah. All the ones there. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin!